And now here's WSMI's Tim Mize, David Jenkins, and our special guest correspondent, Kyle Hirschman.
That's right. We're totally under control in here.
Well,
totally
I know
control.
That's a lie.
I just about strangled myself with a headphone wire. Had a loose connection.
Well, was
as
that,
the
was that what was going on over
was
there?
Going on, so frantically trying to find a headphone jack.
I see.
Function right. properly.
I have to have some bad guano coffee here.
That's right. Fresh from the hills of Guatemala. Beautiful. Can't beat fresh Guatemalan coffee.
Oh, that is Guatemalan's best, yeah. Bat from Bat Guano.
And if you make that coffee and would like to sponsor something here, then go ahead and give us a call.
There you go. Sounds good. Well, fellas, we are 2 weeks in the books with high school football, and last night was a big night on the Tally Broadcasting Stations as we had three games. We had the Sangamo matchup between Auburn and Williamsville, and we had South Central football between Litchfield and Gillespie and Staunton and Hillsborough. And Kyle Hirschman is in studio. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How are you?
I am well. And you were at Gillespie last night for the Litchfield Affair. Thoughts?
I was. It was entertaining. it's been a rough start for Litchfield so far. They're the team that I cover for the Journal News. So it's a rough start, but hopefully they can get things turned around. On the other side of the ball, Tate Wargo played a really good game for Gillespie, and the Miners got their first win. So.
And he was at quarterback last year. He's not at quarterback this year, apparently.
No, he's playing kind of a little bit of everything. A viable option out of the backfield in receiving, broke off a couple of really good runs, had a kick return for a touchdown too. I think it was him.
We'll give him credit for it.
I'm on.
It is this morning. It is this morning.
Yeah. This is early for me. So, Daniel DeBrino's, playing quarterback for the Miners right now.
And Kyle, for Litchfield, it was going to be, I don't know if I want to use the word rebuild, but I guess I just did. Type of year with what they had lost off of last year's team with all the different talent that Connor Simmons had in his senior class. And then you add on top of it a new head coach. And that really is a lot to overcome, especially early in the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And they show flashes of talent. I mean, Sam Painter is, you know, very versatile, throws a nice ball, but can also scramble out of the pocket.
Still really young, just a sophomore.
Yeah, so he has a lot of potential going in. DeAndre Holloway out of the backfield has been a nice addition to them. I believe he came from Bunker Hill.
That's correct.
So he's been a nice addition. He's had some decent runs for them as well, along with like Kyle Twitty and Chase Lauderdale. Chase Lauderdale, another new addition, played soccer for him last year.
I expect a big year kind of out of Trevor Geggy too, because he was one of the guys who was returning this year who actually got significant playing time last year.
And you see him a lot more in the receiving game.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to be one of Painter's favorite targets early on and has the ability to go up and catch a ball. I mean, not a real tall kid, but, you know, he's made some pretty acrobatic catches and does a lot of things well. Also in the return game, he does a lot of things well on that too. So
Gillespie got the win last night over Litchfield, 27-13. Hillsborough blanked Staunton 50-0 last night. More on that game coming up. Greenville took care of Southwestern 50-6. Pena put 69 on Roxana and beat the Shells 69-18. Carthenville went up to Vandalia last night, picked up a solid 42-13 win over the Vandals. And joining us on the phone right now is the Carthenville Cavaliers head coach, Chad Easterday. And Chad, good morning. You made it to Vandalia, and I don't think it rained on you.
That seems to be the outstanding joke. But, yes, I'm happy we didn't have to go back today, and I'm happy it didn't rain. And we had a long track record there of every other year something bad happening over there in terms of weather. So a beautiful evening, though.
What are your thoughts now as you sit here on Saturday morning about your Week 2 win over Vandalia?
You know, I tell you what, I thought we played well again. But I also thought, Vandalia, I think is a very good ball club. I'm not sure my personal opinion, looking in the preseason, you know, they were kind of a question mark on who they had some young kids playing and that sort of thing. But was very impressed with their skill kids last night. But overall, I thought we made some good adjustments in the first half. We only had, it was 14-7, I think, or 14-0 at halftime. So it was a game of momentum, that's for sure.
And really, football always does come down to a lot of times which coaching staff makes the better adjustments at halftime.
Well, I hope so, and I hope we always are on the other side of that. But, you know, I think that comes down to some kids. You know, I thought our kids, I used the term football savvy last night with our kids after the game. You know, we had practiced some stuff in the preseason that maybe wasn't in the game plan for Vandalia, that we were able to use at halftime and kind of swing the momentum for us in the second half of the running game and in the passing game that opened some things up. So our defense had a slow, sluggish start from our performance week one, but I thought we settled in late in the second quarter, and then in the third quarter, the fourth quarter, kept it going.
Coach, obviously Vandalia's got a new coaching staff this year. Was there a new style, the way they played the game, or did they kind of just basically use the same kind of style that they played under John Stout?
I think it was a little mixture of both. Having followed a coach like Stout, who had been there, following Coach Borgini with a guy like he did, you know, I think there's some things in the program that those guys do phenomenal, and you don't want to touch those. But I think you have to put your stamp on the program as the new head coach as well. So, you know, I think he did a great job with that last night. And I think we're very, very multidimensional. So, you know, they threw a little looks at us defensively maybe that they hadn't done week one, that took us a while to get our feet wet. And, you know, those football's a wonderful game when you have those momentum swings and you're able to conquer those things. So,
Chad, through 2 weeks, you guys have had two comfortable victories, but do you like the balance you guys have in terms of run versus pass?
Well, you and I have talked about this. I went to this style of offense 4 years ago because, you know, we were not able to get that balance in our other fronts and our more power run game oriented. And when you have them both working, it's very, very complicated on defense to see which one you can stop, because most of the time, unless you're a superior team, and you get those occasionally, that, you know, you have to pick which one. You got to do the whole chess match game starts in. So I've been very pleased with it. I think we have a very good receiving core, and obviously with Jacob Dixon being able to run the football, and his athletic ability is very difficult on which one of those two things you are picking as your primary to stop.
Well, there's going to be no shortage of athletes on the field next week when you guys head to Greenville. Between the Cavies and the Comets, that is a lot of athletic talent on one field.
Yeah, there might be, you know, 10, 12 people show up for that one to watch.
Possibly, yeah.
I would guess. Yeah.
No, there are 10 or 12 people lining up already, Chad.
You know, Coach Hutch and I over the years have had some great battles with each other, and, you know, he's not one. I was listening to you guys last week. You know, they just had a down year and a couple injuries last year, and momentum didn't favor them last year. But, you know, they progressed as the season went on last year and got better and better and better. And they apparently have picked that up right through the off season, into preseason, into the season. So, you know, you expect them to be good, and we expect a hard physical football game over there. And, you know, I just started watching it this morning. So they're Greenville and we're Carlinville, and that's what I love about the matchup is we both have unique different styles, and neither one varies too far from it. And, you know, it comes down to execution, and both of us are, I don't want to use the word veteran at this, but very stringent on we're going to do it our way. So it'll be a great football game.
And, Chad, you touched on it there a little bit with Greenville, but from a coaching perspective, closing a season like Greenville did, they won their last three games last year. When you can get that type of positive momentum in what was a disappointing season as a coach, what does that do for the mentality of your club during your off-season program?
I just think it builds a foundation for you to go on. If you are a movie watcher, I mean, there's only about eight teams in the state to win the last game. So the ability that you're going to win the last game is probably not in your favor. So to have that run toward the end of the season and to be able to stack those people up in there and start playing kids for next year and getting that experience, I think, is huge in terms of building programs. You know, and it's very difficult to do, too, because sometimes you're subbing kids in and out of games and possibly trying to get them as most experience as you can. So, you know, Coach Hutchinson's no dummy. He's been around a long, long time, and that's not an age joke, by the way, but he does a phenomenal, phenomenal job over there.
Chad Easton, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. We always appreciate your time on Saturday morning, sir, and we'll see you next Friday night in Greenville.
That sounds great. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
All right, Chad Easton with the Carlinville Cavaliers. They are 2-0. Greenville is 2-0, and to me, that's kind of the South Central version of what we saw last night in the Sangamo with Auburn and Williamsville.
Yeah. And you know, with Greenville last year, I think there was some well-designed anger by the Greenville Comets, and not anger in a bad way, but anger chip on your shoulder type anger that, hey, we, you know, we're better than this.
You don't want to be the group that dropped the ball.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that helped regroup Greenville. And we've seen it over the years with various teams. And Hutch does what Hutch does. And Greenville does what they do. And it should be a heck of a ball game. You know, much like what you had last night with Auburn and Williamsville.
And who knows how the matchups will work out, but I hope that we get a one-on-one matchup of Brady Simpson and Jacob Dixon.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. That will be must-see stuff, if the matchups allow it to happen.
I'm telling you, if they're not, you know, there's going to be 1,000-plus people there.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. Maybe 2,000.
Well, we found out last night when we were in Williamsville, they used to have a policy where you could come the night before and lay your blanket out on the bleachers and reserve your seat. They had to cancel that because apparently everyone in the town would show up on Thursday night and they would have all the bleachers reserved on Thursday night, even like the band seats on occasion. So you got people getting there an hour before the game thinking, hey, I want to get a good seat, when in actuality they got no seat. So they had to change the policy. But Greenville's a little bit of the same way. You know, we'll get there well, you know, an hour at least before a ball game. Stands are half full already. People, you know, milling all about the facility. It's just a must-see event, generally.
Well, that's
Friday
the difference.
Nights.
It's not just a football game. It's an event. So
that'll be a lot of fun.
It takes in the
week.
Whole town and, you know, everybody around. So
that's right. We'll have Carlinville at Greenville live next week here on FM 106 with the Pizza Man pregame show for you at 6:30 on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We do need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more high school football following these messages. The Lovie Smith era begins at 1:30 this afternoon.
The Racers. Murray State Racers.
That's right. Three straight home games for the Illini to start the year.
Let the Lovie Smith era begin.
We'll see how it goes. I wish him luck.
There hasn't been this much buzz over head coach hiring for the Illini in a long time.
And I say this with all seriousness. I hope they don't get too good too quick.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst thing that could happen to Lovie Smith. It was this the worst thing that happened to Ron Zook, is all of a sudden be good early and people think, hey, we're going to be good all the time.
Look what this guy's done.
Yeah.
Slow and steady improvement. Build the program.
Where is Ron Zook now? He's not head coach anywhere.
He's water scan.
That's right. He made some good money coaching. And last I knew, he was like a special teams coordinator for an NFL
club. That's what
club.
I thought. I thought he was.
He was with the Packers for a while.
Okay. That's right. That's right. Last night in Williamsville, big time game between the Bullets and the Auburn Trojans. Of course, Auburn came into the game ranked number one in Class 2A. And it was a great game. Williamsville won 29-22. This is a game Auburn led 22-13 going into the fourth quarter before Williamsville had 16 unanswered points to close the ball game. And their first-year quarterback, Justice Ferrier, he was absolutely sensational with his legs and his ability to throw the deep ball. And the combination of those two things plus the running of Jace Franklin, it was really just too much for Auburn last night. And what I took away from the game was this. Auburn did not play very good, and they were still winning in the fourth quarter against a very good Williamsville club. Williamsville had opportunities. They could have potentially won that game by, you know, a couple of touchdowns. But give Auburn credit. They showed how great they really are staying in that game on the road under those circumstances. But at the end of the day, Williamsville was just too much.
And you have to give a lot of the credit probably to Coach Dave Bates, because, I mean, for a team to make that many mistakes and still be in the game, let alone in the lead, is phenomenal. And a lot of that falls on the coach. So
Auburn couldn't move the ball offensively.
Williamsville's defense does not get enough credit. I mean, you hear about their offense and how quick they are all the time, but their defense is phenomenal. I mean, last year when they went 5-5, or 5-5 after their playoff loss, a down year for Williamsville, I mean, their defense was still phenomenal. So
they go to Marrora next week.
That's going to be a game.
What an addition that is to the Sangamo Conference.
Yeah, that might be the game. Right. Well, right now it's the game of the Sangamo Conference, game of the year.
Well, we just had the game of the year in the Sangamo Conference. I guess we'll get it again next week.
It'll be the game of the rest of the year.
That's right.
Yeah. You can just break it down after each week.
That's pretty much how it goes in that league. North Mac improved to 2-0 last night. They got past New Berlin 35-28. Athens all over Porta 50-6. Marrora 60-6 over Pittsfield. And Plains beat Riverton 43-0. But after week one in the Sangamo, all the teams that won in week one were state ranked.
Good
in
conference.
Some way, shape, or form.
I mean, good conference. Small school conference, but very, very talented. And they've had two representatives or representatives in the past 2 years in the state championship game from different classes.
That's exactly right. The South Central Conference had a representative in the state championship game a few years back. Of course, that was the Staunton Bulldogs. And last night, Staunton dropped to 0-2 as they got blanked at Hillsboro. The Toppers put up the old 50-burger on the Bulldogs last night. And joining us right now is the head coach of the Toppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy, through 2 weeks, you can't really do much better than that.
Yeah. I mean, score-wise, and, you know, 2-0, and we got a couple shutouts, which is very nice. But, you know, we got some things to work on that we're watching on film right now, and we got some things to get better on because, you know, schedule gets tougher.
What was the difference, Duffy, between the first quarter last night for the Toppers and then at the start of the second quarter where things kind of came together offensively?
We did come out a little flat, I think, just a slow start, but they sort of, you know, lined up some guys. They had 10 guys up on the line of scrimmage, and then we did go triple I, and we had to make some adjustments up front, do some, you know, a little bit of improvising up front with our line, and once we started picking it up and learning a few things about what they were doing, it started clicking a little bit better.
Duffy, what are the – I'm just curious, when you're sitting in a film session with high school kids in the morning, you've won big games back-to-back weeks. What are the looks on their faces whenever you're telling them all the stuff they did wrong?
It all depends if they're awake yet. we go in, we tell them, hey, this is going to be a learning situation. Good things we'll tell you good on, but we need to sit here and learn to get better. So, you know, our kids are doing a pretty good job paying attention, and we just point out little technique things here and there. Because, you know, every week you've got to work on getting better and never be satisfied.
I'd like to call your offensive line the TNT line. They blow holes through things. My God. Unbelievable.
They're doing a good job. We're working on mistakes here that we made last night, you know, pointing them out on film. But when they go and they give a lot of effort, they do a great job.
At Roxana next week, that's a place that could be tricky to go to.
Roxana's 0-2. It means nothing. They were 0-2 last year when we played them, and they put it to us. They're a well-coached football team. They've got some big physical kids. They like to pound it on the ground, so we're going to have to come ready to play. I'm expecting a war. You have to, and I think Roxana's going to look at last year. Their kids, mentally-wise, were down 0-2 and ended up 7-2. So they know that they can win out if they need to. So it's going to be a war.
And when you go on the road in that type of situation, obviously your defense has to show up and you need to take care of the football.
Yes, those are two very important things. Special teams have to be good. You know, this is a big week for us. If we can get to 3-0, it would be a great start for us. And like I said, Roxana, they're nothing they're just going to run over. They're going to be ready to go.
You guys healthy through 2 weeks?
Yes, everybody's healthy. You know, if we keep that up, I like our chances, too, of getting better every week.
All right, Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. Duffy, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck at Roxana next week, sir.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Aaron Duff with Hillsboro off to a 2-0 start, and kind of has that feel for the Toppers this year,
well,
doesn't it?
It really does. This is the Topper smash mouth kind of football. They've got some size now on the offensive line, and they literally just dominate. They just really just dominate, especially through the first 2 weeks. So.
Well, and you used the phrase when we were talking before the show started, Stewie-esque.
Stewie-esque, yeah. Remember the Hilltopper teams at Smash Mouth football, and that's what it is.
Ground and pound football.
Ground and pound. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, this is what Duffy's been waiting for. You know, some size, and he's got senior experience all over the place. So, you know, Toppers are, you know, Roxana will not be an easy task for them next week. I think it's a great game for the Hilltoppers, actually, coming off of two games where they've, you know, put a lot of points on the board there. They're going to need some, you know, somebody to kind of get in their face here and see. Let's see what happens.
They'll need that size on defense next week,
yeah,
going up,
yeah,
against 6'2", 220, 240-pound running back Jordan Hawkins.
That's right. And, you know, normally at Hillsboro, when they win 50-0, the football team would be the star. They would be the lead act, but that was not the case last night. The pregame ceremony, yeah, an amazingly awesome moment. Kyle Hirschman your daughter, Grace, was honored by a young man, and I'll let you take it from there. Just a great story.
Yeah, we were approached by the family of Carter Brashear, who's from Taylorville. He's a AAU, Amateur Athletic Union power lifter, 16-year-old kid from Taylorville High School, has set a ton of world records and American records, and he does this thing where he donates one of his AAU medals to somebody that inspires him, and we were fortunate enough to be a part of that last night. I unfortunately had to miss, but my wife was there, and another young lady that he had given a medal to, Lauren Ruther. So it just really, Mary said, it was a really great experience, really humbling, and you know, it's really helped with our building awareness for INAD, infantile neuroaxonal dystrophy, the genetic disorder that affects my daughter and about 50 others. So it's, you know, we can't thank the Hillsborough football program enough. We can't thank the Brashears enough for their support, and it's just been awesome.
This is a kid that's got literally hundreds and hundreds of not only state records, but world records.
Yeah,
I mean, this kid is just awesome.
Yeah, he's pretty impressive, and really a good young man too. So you always like to see that.
Yeah, that touches your heart.
It was. It was a very touching ceremony last night. It really was. So.
And that's just the first. That just kind of sets off the week. We have a Volley for Grace game on Thursday this week between Lincolnwood and Morrisonville. That's the first of three INAD awareness games this year. Hillsborough and Vandalia play, I believe, on September 15th. At Hillsborough, and we got to meet the Vandalia volleyball team. Great bunch of girls. They really embraced our story too. And then Hillsborough and Lincolnwood in October, early October. So big year for us, as always.
You guys have done so much for the INAD research and bringing awareness to it. Can you tell a difference in terms of maybe the conversations or the awareness, like down with the doctors and those types of things?
I think they really appreciate it. You know, this was one of the, like, the guy that's doing the research for us, or for INAD at Washington University, he had never had a parent-funded study. And, you know, the group of INAD parents have raised over $300,000 for this study. He's impressed. He came down for him and his team came down for the Grace race last year in September. So that was a pretty cool moment there. And, you know, we're going to have it again next year. We skipped this year just because we got some other things going on. But like I said, and he wants to come back. So just the awareness. And, you know, it's, you know, awareness is the biggest part of it, because right now, you know, if somebody forgets about a disease and doesn't know about it, then it's not going to get cured.
And you've taken the awareness kind of to minor league baseball as well.
Yeah, indeed. We had a INAD awareness night at Arkansas Travelers in Little Rock. That was my former stomping grounds. I was an intern there, and I still know the general manager there. He was an intern with me, and a young man named Keenan Middleton caught our first pitch, and since then he's been promoted to AAA and he's pretty good prospect for the Angels. Throws 102 mile an hour, but
hello,
yeah. But wears his bracelet every day except for the days that he's pitching. So, yeah, we're hoping to, we've connected with him over you know, at the game and then over social media too. So
that's great. Yeah, once you're in AAA, I mean, you can get that call at any moment.
Yeah, he's hoping for either a September call-up or get invited to the big club's spring training next year. So,
well, didn't Steve Cishek for the Cardinals get a bracelet last year?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. Steve Cishek with the Cardinals, now with the Mariners. He wore his during the he wasn't on the playoff roster, but he wore his during the playoff run. So
pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we've made connections with several others. You know, Lisa Roberts from Gillespie that does the professional triathlons. North Dakota State basketball team has been a huge supporter of us.
I think you might be their biggest supporter.
Yeah. That too.
Super
yeah.
fan.
Yeah, we go pretty hard on them. But, you know, that's part of it, is if these people are willing to raise awareness for us, we're willing to raise awareness for them.
And Kyle, the one thing that I've noticed about your family is the fact that you've made us part of your family by involving us and letting us know what's going on. And I appreciate that. I just think, and I can remember when this first, when you, we were first talking about this, condition, and now people are aware of it and they're not afraid to talk about it and, you know, not afraid to host events which help raise, funds for INAD research. I think it's just been a wonderful transition and evolution basically in the educational process. And I think, you know, you and Mary and the folks involved have done just a wonderful job of helping educate us.
Yeah, I would venture to say that, you know, per capita, like Montgomery County and some of the surrounding areas, know more about INAD than anybody else on earth, you know, considering how rare the disease is. But I like to say it's an awful situation, but it's been a good experience.
I know Uncle Ralph always talked about the generosity of mm-hmm. the people in Montgomery County. And Kyle, you obviously have experienced it on a firsthand basis time and time again.
Yeah, but at a small level, you know. I mean, it's not like, you know, we had the race and it raised $25,000. But, you know, even that is just entry fees and some sponsorships and stuff. That's small amounts. You know, it's bake sales. It's, you know, the Volley for Grace things. It's penny wars at the schools. You know, these people. And we've never asked, you know, or, you know, we try not to ask for anything because we know how it is. But, you know, people have volunteered to do stuff. Something about Grace has really touched them. And, you know, part of it is Mary and I's work in the newspaper. We try to be good community members. You know, we try to support things that are important to our community. So, in turn, people have supported us.
And Grace has been at high school sport events basically her entire life. I can right. remember you and Mary bringing her to a Litchfield basketball game. She couldn't have been more than a week old.
No. Well, it would. She would have been a couple of months old at that point. But still, yeah. Happy birthday to Grace. She'll be 5 on Wednesday.
Awesome.
I think her first game ever was about. She was about 2 weeks old. At a Litchfield Hillsborough volleyball game, and I brought my brother Shane, and halfway through the first game, a ball goes up into the stands, and like Shane stands up and knocks it away. You know, I mean, just the odds. You know, you don't see that many balls go into the stands, but the week I bring my 2-week-old daughter, of course, that's the week that one goes in there. So.
Naturally.
Yeah. So, yeah, she's pretty much grown up. And as like a lot of them know, we're expecting a second, so she'll probably grow up in the gyms and stuff too until she can run around and tell me no.
That won't take long.
No.
Kyle Hirschman of the Journal News joining us here on Sports Saturday. We need a break. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Back to the gang.
Thank you, Tito.
Tim Mize, David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschman, the gang.
That sounds dangerous.
Gang of three.
Is that really a gang?
It is today.
I was laughing last night with Carl DeBar as we were coming back from Williamsville. We were listening to your Staunton Hillsborough broadcast, and at one point they had to bring the chain gang out, and I got to thinking, where did that start? It's only two people.
Well, there was a big crowd all around him, though. I think they got it all twisted up or something.
Three.
If
you count the guy with the little circle-y thing that you put on the line.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
You don't want to leave.
Well, how many people to constitute a gang, though? Is it three?
It is today.
It is today?
Yeah.
Isn't the guy who holds like the first down or the down marker, isn't he considered part of the gang?
Yeah, but he doesn't really go out on the field.
Right.
So.
Yeah, when I think of the chain gang, I think of the guys that are running out with the chain for the measurement.
So he's outside
only two
the
guys
gang.
There, isn't there? There's not a third guy that comes out.
Yeah.
Doesn't the ref stretch the chain?
Oh yeah, he does.
The game officials mark it. And you know, and then the two guys come out. So yeah,
it's an exclusive club.
We've already wasted more time on this, obviously, than we should have. But it's just, I think about such stupid things sometimes.
You and your coin flip between the coin flip.
Oh, the coin flip still makes no sense.
You're right, though. It doesn't make sense. You're right.
Speaking of coin flips, I have a heck of a time seeing the coin flip. Like when I go to a game, I'll do the coin flip before the game. I'll sit there. I'll be watching for the coin flip. I'll look away for a split second, and the coin flip happens. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I think it's a myth. I think the coin flip doesn't actually happen on the field. It's done behind closed doors.
Nobody wants to.
It's just reenacted, right, Dave?
Yes. The reenactment of
the coin flip.
Directed by Steven Spielberg.
Other scores around the area last night in week two. Decatur St. Teresa 2-0 now as they beat Nokomis 69-7. The Skins now 0-2 on the year. And nothing new for Nokomis to start the year 0-2. That seems to have been kind of a trend as of late.
No,
but
you schedule the opponents that they've scheduled.
That's right. But Nokomis, I think, is going through a rebuilding phase right now.
Yeah, they've lost a couple guys, and they have some good options coming in too, but you know, new coach too, with Paul Watson taking over for Gabe Cesaretti. So it could be an interesting year for them, but hopefully, you know, they've shown in the past that they have the ability to come back after that 0-2 start.
Absolutely. And unfortunately for Nokomis, it's just kind of the cycle of small schools. Eventually, there's going to be a bit of a dry spell.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it just depends. It's all based on classes and stuff. You know, they have really, really good baseball program. So, you know, with some of these group of kids. So, sometimes athletic interests, you know, lean toward another way. So
that's exactly right. Elsewhere last night, Mount Olive went down south to Marshall and lost 48-16. So the Wildcats now 0-2. Marshall improves to 2-0. Bunker Hill, they went over to Farmer City Blue Ridge. That's up in the Champaign area. They lost 28-6. So the Minutemen now 1-1. Blue Ridge improves to 2-0. Taylorville crushed Wood River last night, 45-6. The Tornadoes now 2-0 on the year. Camp Point Central beat Greenfield Northwestern last night, 26-16. So Greenfield Northwestern 1-1 on the young year. Minden Unity dropped Carrollton to 0-2, a 41-26 win for Minden Unity over the Hawks. Beardstown, they beat Calhoun in overtime, 35-34. Beardstown now 2-0, Calhoun 1-1. Brown County, they beat Pleasant Hill last night, 34-20. Triopia all over North Green, 40-8. West Central slipped past Jacksonville Route, 14-12. And Warrensburg Latham beat South Fork 27-19. Couple of games today. Oakwood is at Pawnee, and Breeze Modern Day is at Alton Marquette in a couple of Saturday afternoon games, and that's going to be a beautiful afternoon for football. It was a great night for football last night. That fall chill was in the air, and the North Mac Panthers in come from behind fashion improved to 2-0 as they beat the New Berlin Pretzels 35-28. And joining us on the phone right now is North Mac's head coach Shane Owsley. Shane, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. Well, a good win for you last night at home. Talk a little bit about it. There was some adversity to overcome last night.
It was. We again came out, you know, very, very slow for some reason. We kicked off to start the game, and they ran a reverse on a kickoff and scored on the very opening kickoff, and kind of woke us up a little bit. But they played very well again, and we struggled out the gate, but luckily we were able to come away with the W at the end.
You know, when a game starts like that, it needs to be like golf, where you just throw your mulligan flag. I want to start over.
It definitely, and it's a situation where we've done this, you know, twice now. We've come out slow, and you know, I was talking with the kids this morning about, you know, I don't know if we need to change up our pregame or what we need to do. It just seems like we come out a little flat each week, and we know going forward with the opponents that we have coming up, we're not going to be able to afford to do that.
And from a coaching perspective, that has to be frustrating.
It is. I mean, it's a situation where, again, we thought it was an opponent that we should beat, and I think we're starting to read a little too much into what's being said on the newspapers and on, you know, Channel 1450, who does a great coverage. All of a sudden, our kids have started to figure out or start to think, you know, we need to be beating these guys by 50 and 60 points, and I think we sometimes lose the fact that the other team does get off the bus and they plan on winning too. And I think instead of worrying about how much we're going to win by, we need to start to refocus on just making sure that we win.
And it is different being the hunted opposed to being the hunter.
It is, and that's something that we've kind of told our kids over and over again, that we're going to get the best shot from everybody, but I think they're finally starting to see that. And again, it's a situation that's kind of new for us. It's not been, you know, this has been Williamsville's conference for, you know, the past 3 or 4 years. So we're not used to this. So I think last year we kind of learned how to win, and we knew how to, you know, kind of climb that mountain, so to speak. But the kids are starting to realize that the only thing harder than climbing that mountain is making sure we're staying on top of it.
Well, you guys are going to have some good bonding time coming up next week. A nice bus trip to Pittsfield.
It is a very long bus ride. You know, we know these guys. We've seen them on film. You know, it's definitely a Pike County thing. They've got some big, strong, physical kids, and it's going to be the same thing. If we're not ready to go, they're going to be ready to hit us in the mouth. So hopefully, you know, the first 2 weeks have kind of served as wake-up calls, and hopefully we can get our mistakes, you know, fixed. We had, again, probably somewhere close to 200 yards in penalties, and if we can't, you know, we can't continue to win and do that.
And, Shane, I guess, though, the nice thing is you're 2-0, so it's always better to learn those lessons and wins.
Well, and that's something that we kind of talked about. We knew, you know, our plan and our journey is supposed to be 14 weeks and 14 games, and every journey involves some bumps along the way. And as long as we're learning from those and see that they're serving a purpose, I'm okay with it. You know, nobody's going to look back here in 5 or 6 weeks and look at the score. All they're going to do is look for the W or the L in the column.
Absolutely, Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. Thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck next week at Pittsfield.
All right, thank you, guys.
The North Mac Panthers off to a 2-0 start. Of course, they ran the table last year in the Sangamo Conference, and that conference is just, it's loaded up. I mean, it's silly, really, when you start looking
Black
at it.
Black and blue conference, isn't it?
Big time.
It's very deep. Very deep.
And
deep,
would you say earlier that, boy, 5 of the 10 teams in the conference state ranked this week?
Yeah. If you won a game in week one of the Sangamo, you were state ranked. Yeah. I know Kyle doesn't like the state ranking.
And I appreciate. And I tend to agree with Kyle, but, you know, still, the teams that do get the recognition usually from the Sangamo Conference tend to deserve it.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm not saying they're not good teams, but, you know, I am ranked as one of the top sports editors in Illinois. I mean, granted, I may be, you know, 500th, but, you know, I'm ranked. You know. Or if I can get my buddies to vote for me, you know.
Well, that always
might
helps.
Be a little higher.
That always helps.
Well, don't you have that online balloting that you can vote like 36 times before, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Yeah, it's like the All-Star Game.
There you go.
25 times, yeah.
And I, as a general, agree with you on the high school polls, but I do think it has a little more relevance in football than it does, say, in basketball, just because there's limited number of games. I feel like when you look at the state ranking polls at the end of the year, generally – those are the teams that are left standing deep in the playoffs.
And I would agree with that. I think toward the latter part of the year, it's a lot more effective. I think at the start of the year, you know, it's just hard to predict how good these teams are. You talked about it with Hillsboro. You know, they beat up on Southwestern. They beat up on Staunton. You know, they really need a good test. I think Roxana could be that test. But, you know, until you see, I mean, right now, Southwestern's 0-2 with two big losses. You know, Staunton's 0-2 with two big losses. So, you know, are Hillsboro the best team in the South Central Conference, or are they the third worst team, or, you know, third worst team in the South Central Conference because they beat two teams that, you know, have gotten taken down? You know, I think in reality, the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. But whenever we get a larger sample size, like you said, at the end of the season, the rankings, I think, have a lot more weight to them.
Well, the playoff points and how the playoffs are set up gives you a pretty good indication of the good football team.
Absolutely.
Whereas in basketball, everybody gets in to start. And if you're hot at the right time, and even though you may not have much of an impressive record, if you get hot at the right time in basketball, you can make a pretty good run. So basketball is just a little bit different situation there where everybody gets in. So.
That's exactly right. And it'll be interesting to see what the playoff point number winds up being this year. You know, we've only played two games, but it'll be here.
It surprised us last year being as low as it did, because there were a couple of Prairie State teams that normally wouldn't have got in with 5 wins that made it. So
you never know. You can never bank on 5.
That's right.
Got to get to 6. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Okay, Tim Mize.
So I will apologize to Bunker Hill again. AP was wrong
again.
They beat Farmer City Blue Ridge 28-6. So the Minutemen 2-0.
That's 2 weeks running now.
Yeah,
it's a lot different than 1-1.
That's a big difference.
You must have an axe to grind.
Big difference. So
I wonder,
people in Bunker Hill, take your pitchforks to the Associated Press.
Well, pit stop over at Tim Mize's
house. Don't get me going on the Associated Press. I could get
them
on a soapbox, and we would be here for several hours.
Yes, like the AP. What exactly do you do here all day?
Yes.
What is it exactly?
Mm-hmm. It's writing down numbers, 2 scores. Okay.
It's like umpires. Good thing you only have 2 choices: safe, out, ball, strike. Any more than that just gets complicated.
Yeah, but, you know, they have to make calls at the moment.
It's true. This is true.
This game's been over. Somebody reports the score, and you get it backwards for the second week in a row.
How's it happen? I don't know.
So we just should we just assume that it's going to be wrong next week?
We should probably should.
Pretty much.
We should probably just start selling a sponsorship package for the Tim Mize Weekly Bunker Hill Apology.
That's right. That's right.
Might as well. What the heck?
Yes. Call 1-800-MINUTEMAN. Ask for Tim Mize.
Goodness. My aunt's in town for her 50th.
My apologies.
It happens.
You know. Yeah.
She's in town for her 50th class reunion from Bunker Hill.
Really?
1966. And she works for Fisher Pen Company. And so she made these pens, and she figured out how many minutes there had been in the 50 years since they graduated. It was like 26 million or something. I mean, it was a big number. And she put that on there, and whatever the number was, minutes, .. man.
There you go.
She got clever with it.
See
what she did there?
Yeah.
See what she did.
Did she backlog it to the time she was giving away?
That's a good question.
Doesn't the minute keep adding on?
I don't know. That's true. Yeah,
wait a second.
The reunion time.
Wait a second.
But 50 years.
That's called promotion.
Absolutely. Beautiful thing.
Yes.
I can't imagine being out of high school for 50 years.
I went to school with some kids that did that.
It's like, I love fifth grade. I did it three times. Beautiful grade.
Good kids.
Good people there. Yeah. Good people in fifth grade.
Drove their kids to work. Or in school. So.
By the third time around, they were an expert.
Hershey, you're killing me, man.
You know, there are some parents who hold their kids back so that they can be a bigger athlete for that class.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. Like, they'll hold their kids back a year or two.
Well, I mean, you can really tell at four.
Yeah.
You know, you can really get a good idea.
And that really surprises you?
Well, it doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me.
It's just
me.
Absurd.
Well,
priorities, I guess.
Yeah.
What are priorities?
Certainly not getting the Bunker Hill score correct.
Evidently, that's not a top priority of the AP. So, Bunker Hill's 2-0.
Bunker Hill. Congratulations to the Minutemen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, 9:50 next week. Expect an apology.
That's
again.
Right.
give or take.
The Tim Mize apology. Yeah,
let's find out who they
Welcome
play
to the
first.
Tim Mize Apology Hour on WSMI.
It's a beautiful thing. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
You should do it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
They are at home next week in the Prairie State to host East Alton Wood River.
Okay.
So
that'll be easy enough to find. You know, you can double check that one.
That's true.
You won't, but
well, yeah. you someone could. It
someone,
won't be me.
Someone
who knows.
Be me.
This could have been an easy enough score to find too.
Could have been.
Yeah. Actually,
I got other things going on.
Actually,
man.
I did search for a second source this morning and couldn't find it.
Well,
maybe it wasn't. Where are they out of? A near Champaign?
Yeah,
I'd never heard of the school, so I guess that just says how important that school is. In the Champaign.
Burn!
Send those cards and letters to David Jenkins.
Well, to be fair, Lovie Smith's making his debut this weekend, so obviously
priorities
were somewhere else.
That's true. And I think that, like, St. Joe Ogden up that way, they base their playoff games on the Illini. Like, they will not... They try not to have scheduling conflicts just because so many people there have season tickets.
So close.
Believe it.
Yeah.
The Illini hosting Murray State today. The Lovie Smith era will begin live at 1:30. They'll kick it at 2:30. We'll have it for you all season long on WAOX 105.3 The Ox.
All the Illini on The Ox this year.
Football, basketball, coaches shows.
That's right.
All of it.
We've already had the coaches show.
We'll hear from Lovie on Monday.
I thought it was Tuesday now.
It's Monday.
No, it was Tuesday.
Oh, it was Tuesday.
And then about 2 days before they were supposed to have the first show, they said, no, Lovie wants to have it on Monday. So we'll do Monday. Okay.
Hey, you have that show whenever Lovie wants to have that show.
I guess so.
If he wants to have it on Thursday,
in spite of the fact you're a network, which is coordinating with many stations across our great land.
Yeah, they're not worried about that though.
That goes to Associated Press in my soapbox, but that's another subject for another time.
Last night was senior night for Hillsboro girls golf.
Hey, there we go.
Already?
Already?
Yeah, they do. I think they have a few more.
Would they do it because they want to avoid rain? And
yeah, it's possible. I know they play a match or two at Indian Springs too. So, congrats to Matty Andre and Kelsey Giacchino. Unfortunately, they lost their first match last night to Auburn. You know, but
pretty good golf teams in the area.
Really good golf teams. Lincolnwood undefeated, boys and girls. Hillsboro boys have lost one, but they shot a 159 or 155 and lost.
Oh my!
To Marquette, who shot a 139 at Rolling Hills.
Yeah,
but
that's top four scores.
Hillsboro boys just throwing darts right now. Got a roster, three juniors, and everybody else is freshmen.
Oh boy!
Yeah, but I mean,
dynasty.
Tony Perfetti and Caden White are in their top six as juniors. You know, playing really well. And then Alex White and Alex Eichhoff are two of the freshmen.
We had them in here a couple years ago. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yeah, good.
We're going to have them in here again before it's all over. Trust me.
When they're state champions. Yeah,
yeah, they're going to be tough. You know, like I said, but Hillsboro's got a good golf team. Lincolnwood's got a good golf team, and Litchfield's got a good. Litchfield boys are really good too, with Alex Bishop and Tyler Sneed.
Put you on the spot here. See if you know the answer. Where will the regional be? What course they going to? Did I stump Kay Hirsch?
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure that they
may not have
the regional sites have been announced yet.
Yeah.
State has been announced, but regional hasn't.
We'll go with that.
So. I can't know it if they haven't released it yet.
Yeah.
You're safe.
Kyle was telling me an interesting point. It's no longer true now. Lincolnwood lost a soccer game on Thursday, but up until that point, Lincolnwood sports were undefeated for the fall.
Yeah, volleyball was undefeated, boys and girls golf undefeated, and soccer. Like I said, soccer's just got the one loss, lost to a really good Jerseyville team at the Carlinville Kickoff Classic.
That's amazing, though, to have only one loss in your fall sports calendar.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And a couple games in, so. I mean, volleyball is going to be a good team. They lost a few people, but returned that core group of players that went to the junior high state tournament a couple times.
And these are the girls that Coach Denny started with.
Yeah.
With their program for the peewees, you know, for the little ones.
And Lincolnwood is in the Altamont tournament today with Nokomis and Greenville.
Yeah. That's a good tournament.
It's a very good tournament. And they're on Lincolnwood and Nokomis are on opposite ends of the bracket. Yeah. Greenville's in with Nokomis in theirs, so.